The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, let's just open in prayer, okay? Let's start it up with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word just didn't come with words, but it came with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to deliver your message, Lord. And we just thank you for it, and we give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, like the angel said, awake, awake, awake. And the world kind of wants us to lull us to sleep. And I know I've been guilty of that, falling asleep, you know, just kind of letting things happen, letting things go. And so we just wanted to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to start with just going back in history a little bit. We'll look at the first verses. The God of this world, which would be Satan, right, kids? God of this world would be Satan, has blinded the minds of those that believe not. And so we'll look back in history where we see that happening.
But he's always trying to conform us to the world from all the different societies down through history. He's been blinding us, blinding the minds of them which believe not for a very long time. Back in the Greek Empire, when Alexander the Great took it, he went and conquered most of the world there. When he went in there, they Hellenized everybody, which means you're going to make everybody a Greek. We're going to make them take away their gods. We're going to do that. And when his kingdom fell, they broke it up into small. He was a young man when he died, but they broke it up into small parts. And they would go into the country and take away their gods, take away everything, and make them conform to the image that they would be in. But they had a little difficult time when they came to Judea, because the Maccabeans revolted against that kind of thing. They said, no, you're not going to take our gods. They tried to sacrifice pigs on their altars, and they rose up, and they actually came ahead and beat them. But then the Romans came, and they said, we're the great light, and we're going to conform everybody to our image too. And they did pretty good till they hit Judea, and they ran into the same thing. You're not going to change our God. You're not going to take our God away from us. And I remember a story that's in Josephus and also in Philo about Pontius Pilate. It said he was very stubborn. They wrote about him, and he was in Caesarea. And he decided, by going by the nighttime, I'll bring in all these busts of the gods, and I'll bring in all these things and bring them into the city, into Jerusalem at night. So nobody in the dark in the night. And isn't that like the enemy bring it in at night and then, you know, everything, and change the world that way? Well, he brought them in, and there was a great uproar in Israel. And they all came to Caesarea, and they said, you can't do this. And they bowed down for 5 days. And on the sixth day, Pontius Pilate was so upset that he told his army to go around him and they were going to kill him. But they bowed, they laid down and bared their neck and said, no, if you want to do this, you have to kill us all. And so he was very stubborn and he said, take them back. take back all the busts, take the gods out of Jerusalem and we'll do that. But it seems like all the societies try to do that and to change us, right from Hitler to whatever.
Yeah, Hitler started with the youth and the kids. He started gathering them and started infiltrating propaganda, and that's kind of what seeped into the culture before it ever became a war. He had started way early on, just kind of breaking down their thoughts and breaking down their moralities. And then now today we have all sorts of stuff going on in the world, but I know like we're so concerned with what ISIS is doing, you know, and they're just going in and being ruthless with Christians. And Christians are giving up their homes and having to leave, but they're standing strong. They're standing strong, and they're making a point. And so we really need as believers to be praying for them daily. And also in North Korea, you know, he just does not allow any of that religion. He's the God. And so we have that going on around us today, and I'm sure there's other places in the world that you know of too, that where, you know, the enemy is alive and well. But we just want to say that the enemy is alive and well in America. We're being Americanized. And, you know, the problem here is there are a lot of Christians, and so he has to come up with a different tactic, and so he's sneaky. You know, he's not going to come straight out and say, we're going to kill all the Christians. You know, he's got to sneak around to change our mindset. And he's doing that.
He starts with the children telling him that they weren't made from God the way it was, you know, that we were, you know, a big explosion on the world, and that we became from one cell amoebas and grew up to be monkeys for our uncles. And different things. They told us the lie. You can tell that the God of this world has blinded the minds. Look at the Supreme Court. Look at the leaders of the land. Some of the very things that our kids would know that's wrong, that they're blinded by it, you know? It's just amazing.
And it's really strong in the educational system. So you guys as parents really need to be combating that. You know, they're going to be teaching evolution. So at your home, you need to be teaching creation. You need to be teaching the facts of creation. And it's going to be the same with, you know, there's alternative lifestyles that are being taught. They're being taught in kindergarten. There's books that have mommies and mommies. It's infiltrating, and it starts sneakily. You know, you go, oh, and, you know, oh, they did read that book? Oh, I don't like that. But, you know, we have to be aware. We have to teach our children the truth. We can't just let this roll over us, because we will lose our children. We'll lose our culture, because they're slowly inundating us with these new thoughts that are coming in overnight. Like we had the whole transgender thing happen. And believe me, I'll tell you, I know from personal experience, it's very uncomfortable to share a bathroom. Now, me and Jim went to a movie once, and it was a different location, so he was getting the popcorn.
I was going to get popcorn. She said, I have to go to the bathroom.
I have to go to the bathroom. I'll hurry.
But maybe I'm not sure if we told you this before. But
did I tell you this story?
She said that
If not, I'm going to tell you again. Okay, so I am running, and I run into the bathroom. I get in the stall. I sit down, ready to go to the bathroom. All of a sudden, I hear guys' voices in the bathroom, and I am just, oh my gosh, there's a guy in this bathroom. So I finish, I get up, and I think, what am I going to do? So I peek through the side door, and there in front of me is a line of guys using the urinal. So now I'm really nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know those little stalls. I'm pacing. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm in the guy's bathroom. A new movie's going to let out. They're all going to come in. And so I'm just like, I'm going to wait till everybody leaves. So I'm sitting there waiting. Pretty soon it's all quiet. And I go creeping out of the bathroom like,
I'm wondering where she is by this time.
And there
she's
are
hiding
a couple
out in the men's
guys
bathroom.
Standing washing their hands. And I look at them, and the first thing that came out of my mouth, I have no idea why, but I said, I didn't see anything. Oh, dear.
But it's kind of funny how even, like, with the sitcoms, almost every sitcom, there's so much immorality, but they like to cover it up with, they have the laughing tracks in the background so that everything's laugh, ha, 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 you know, they have the laughing voices after everything so that
pretty soon, you might be laughing.
Yeah, so just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, the medicine go down, the medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down in the most delightful way. You know, they feed us that, but they feed it with the laughter.
Yeah, and you're not perceptive, like, oh my gosh, that was really bad. Or I've done this. I've said, oh, that was a really good movie. Well, I guess there were a couple bad parts, but most of it was pretty good, you know, and thinking that, oh, that was okay then. And I know that one of the movies that came out, I was really excited because it was a dinosaur with a human. And I thought, oh, finally, the truth here that they could have been together. I'm like, I'm going to bring my grandson. So I finally did see this movie, and darn, they turned that little boy into acting like a dog. You know, he was running around and barking and didn't communicate. And I was so upset. And I thought, all these little kids are watching that movie, and that is going to be their perception of what life used to be like. Like, we were once dogs. Maybe they thought they couldn't pass the ape thing over on us, so they went with a different view. But I was so upset.
Even the biblical movies, sometimes you watch them and you wonder, did they really read that book? Did they really get it?
If they're going to do a story on Noah, you'd think they'd read the Bible.
Yeah, really, you'd think they'd know that.
Okay, so here's something that the Lord has just opened my eyes up to, and it's a lie that I have been believing, that I've been just kind of washed asleep with, and that is, it's politically incorrect or rude to talk to somebody about Jesus. Have you had that feeling? I mean, it's put out there. How many of you feel comfortable telling people about Jesus? If you have a resignation inside of you, it's because of this lie. It's because you've been lulled asleep to think it is not really politically correct for you to be sharing your faith, or you're imposing your beliefs on somebody when it's the most wonderful thing in your life. I mean, if you find a good vitamin, don't you tell your friends? Or oils, or I mean, don't you? I mean, we share recipes, we share all sorts of stuff, but when it comes to the joy of our life, what our life is based on, all of a sudden we lose our oomph. And you go, why? Why? Well, because you've been believing a lie that that person's not going to receive you. And you know what? I have heard so many stories, testimonies lately of people that have shared Christ, and the people just receive, could I pray for you? You say to a waitress, and they're like, oh, would you? Oh, thank you. And they're so touched. They're so touched that you would care enough, that you felt their pain, that they needed a healing, or that you sensed that there was something wrong with them. So really, we got to wake up. We got to break that lie. I want to break that lie in me, that people do not, I hold a treasure. Would I not want to share? If you had a lot of money, wouldn't you share it? I would. I'd be like, oh, big tip. But here I am just hiding my treasure. Okay, and the other lie is that it's hateful to speak the truth about what the Bible says. And you know what? I understand we want to do everything in love, but we can't keep our mouths quiet. We can't not share everything that our Bible says. And especially with our children. We need to get this out to our children and our grandchildren, the truth, because they're hearing another story. And if we're not counteracting it, then that's going to be what's going to be slowly filtered in, and we're going to be going to sleep in our pews. We're going to be just in our lives. We're going to be turning on the TV and vegging out. I can't do that sometimes. Jim will be watching commercials and what is it, where they sell stuff, and I think, oh, I just didn't shut it off. You know, it seeps in, and so that's what we're talking. But with all of this, we don't want you to become
overwhelmed by what's going on.
Yeah, have any of you felt that sometimes? If you read what's going on in the world and stuff, you're just like, oh, I'm just overcome. I don't know. I mean, what do we do?
But in the time of Jesus, the same immorality was going on, probably worse, the worst violence that you probably ever seen in his society. But it said he went around doing good and healing the sick. He wasn't overcome with it. He was doing good. And that's what our verse is about for today.
Our memory verse.
Be not overcome with that evil, but overcome it with good. And I know that's what you guys do. I know that you're out doing good, and you're out doing the work of the Lord in that sense. That you're doing good and not overcome with that.
Because this is Family Sunday, I want you adults to bear with us a little bit, okay? All right, so we're going to split you right down this line here. You guys are on my team.
Oh, good. I got the good team over here.
No, mine is the better team. Okay, so you have to stand up, and we go first, and yell this. Be not overcome with evil. All right, are you ready? We're going to go back. So stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. Okay, are you ready? One, two, three. Be not overcome with evil,
but overcome evil with good.
Oh, mine was better.
I think
all right, one more time, guys. You are doing awesome. Ready? Here we go. One, okay. Two, three.
Be not overcome with evil.
One, two, three. But overcome. evil with good. Oh, I think we won for sure
time. No, we won.
I think we won. I think.
I'm sure. Awesome.
I think we won. Should we switch sides? Do you think we should switch sides on there?
Okay. Okay.
I think maybe we should switch sides.
All right, team.
Well, now we can win over here.
No, this team now. Okay. Ready? Oh, am I first? Again.
Yeah,
okay.
You have
okay,
to go first.
One, two, three.
One, two, three. Oh, good! Yeah!
One more, you guys! Come on!
But overcome evil with good!
My team
yeah,
won!
Yeah, I think my team won. I was hoping not to wound anybody at all there.
All right. If there are any kids or adult kids that did not get a piece of candy and want some, you can come up and get one from the bucket. All right.
It says that you, in Philippians, it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine like lights. Yeah. It says we need to renew our minds then. We need to renew our minds, and that's a verb, renew. You know, we need to keep telling ourselves, we're sons of God. We're sons of the Most High. Because they bombard us with the world. They bombard us and they tell us how we're supposed to think. No, we're sons of God. Christ lives in me. The hope of glory is in me. And we need to keep telling ourselves. We need to keep having that. It says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. We need to keep rolling and rolling that over in our heads. Just like they keep rolling over in our heads that, oh, we're just the same. Aren't you Joseph's son? Don't you just do this over here? Aren't you just the same as everybody else? Aren't you? But that's not what God says about us, is it? We need to know what God says about us more than what we hear anything of anybody else says about us. It's got to be what God says about us, that we're sons and daughters of the Most High. It says in 1 John, it says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, which are born not after the flesh, nor after the will of man, but of God. So it's a big difference. We need to keep going through our heads with that.
And kids, you have Jesus inside of you. You know, you can share Jesus anytime. You know, and who's to say that the people that you're around are not like Ruth, are not there because for you? You may be the only person, the only Christian in their life that can speak into them. So if you hold back, then you're holding back on all the things that God set up for you to do it.
That's how I first heard about Jesus, at the swing set. They were singing songs, the little kids. And that's how I first ever heard about it. I think they're the biggest evangelists around the world right here. The little children are. But it's got to be more than a head thing, a head knowledge. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Sometimes we think we know it all. But no, it's got to go from the head into the heart. It says, if you shall say to this mountain, be removed, and then doubt not in your heart. If you get that in your heart, that's what you are, and go past the head knowledge that can be deceptive, like, oh, I know it all, you know, but no, but the believing that you really are what God says you are, then you come to a different point.
I mean, just know what we're talking about with head knowledge. I mean, I know that I should eat differently, but it's in my head, but it's not confirmed strong enough in my heart that I, that so when, if a nice, wonderful sweet comes along, I'm just, you know, I don't have that conviction. And so we need to get the conviction in our heart, the belief that I am the Son of God. I live, Jesus lives in me. The power of the Holy Spirit lives in me. I walk in power. I don't have to be afraid. I can speak the words of God and be bold and confident. And that has to be in our heart. We know it here, but is it working here? And you know, it comes from spending time with God. You know, it comes with spending time with Daddy. Because if you know your daddy's behind you, then you got more confidence, don't you? You know, sometimes when I go someplace with Jim, I feel like I can do just about anything. I know he's right there to get me. He's going to cover me. And that's the way we are with God. When we have relationship with God, and he, you know he's there. He's going to cover your back. It makes you so bold. Bold as a lion. Yeah, right.
Well, in 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, therefore, if any man's in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are new. Our old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. It's been so many years that before I've been saved. I can't tell you. It must be beyond 30 that I was saved. And sometimes I forget. I forget what really happened to me when that incident happened. On there, I was a grocery boy at Piggly Wiggly's, you know, bagging groceries in there. And when I got saved and asked Jesus into my heart, all of a sudden they said, where's Jim? Where's Jim anymore? He's not here. He's not here. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. They said, I didn't even recognize myself. But, you know, let alone them recognize. They were just all shaking their heads because they knew me well before. But I was different. I was different. And sometimes some people, or lots of us, have been raised in the church, and there isn't that big dramatic. It's like the prodigal son's older brother. I'm always with you. And they didn't have the great thing. But if you've been in the world, in the darkness of the world, you know the big change that was. The lights were just, boom, they came on. And you knew that there was a new creation that came in you when you got that way.
I know. When I met him, he was already saved, and he was just, you know, I fell in love with him because when I talked to him, he'd quote chapters to me, just quote away, and I thought, oh, this man loves God. And so, and my mom said, loved that too, and so she told some other friends, she said, oh, my daughter's dating that Jim Early from Proctor, and they would go, the Jim Early from Proctor? Because they knew the past. When God comes in, he changes us completely, doesn't he? And that's the excitement of what we can do when we share with other people. Change them, you know, but don't you kind of just forget what it was like? You know, for me, I was a child. Early on, I became a Christian, so I didn't have that dramatic change. And so sometimes I don't even think or really realize the pain that some people are going through without Jesus, without somebody mm-hmm. to cast their cares on. How do they do it? How do they move on without knowing that when somebody dies, they're going to be in heaven? You know, we carry hope that we can bring to a lot of people. We just got to get set free.
Yeah.
Believe it in our heart.
That the kingdom of God is in you. It says we're temples of the Holy Spirit. And I thought this week, I'd seen a picture in my mind of Caiaphas. When Jesus stood in there just like a lamb before him, and he was in there, and Caiaphas finally says, "I adjure you by the living God to say whether you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "I am," and you're going to see the Son. You're going to see the Son riding in the clouds. You're going to see him come back here. And he took his clothes and he tore them like this. But when Jesus was on the cross and he said it was finished, God took the veil of the temple and went, boom! He said, I'll show you, this is my Son. And you know what? We're the temple of the living God. God, Christ lives in us. It says that Christ lives in, not I, but Christ lives in me. You know, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a huge difference with us. There is a great difference from us than the world. The first Adam, well, everyone is born by the first Adam, but the second Adam, that is a life-giving spirit, Jesus. And that's what we have, the second Adam.
Amen. Okay.
Yes. Where are you here, Jim? Did you say all these that you wanted to say?
No. I didn't say that. In Colossians 2:17, it says, "This is the mystery that's been hid from all ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory." You know, it's just the mystery that all the ages couldn't understand, that Christ, it came in. It says, "He chose us in him before the foundations of the world. He chose us in him to be that way." But I do want to open up to Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. And I'll probably read it there. "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." You know, he didn't make us, God doesn't think we're stealing from him to go out and do the works that he asked us to do. He sent out the 70. He said, go do it. I'm going to be with you. And boy, Satan was really surprised when he sent out the 70, because he came down like lightning and set on him. But you know, when we go out and do the work, we can do the works. It's not cheating God somehow. He wants us. He said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll show you how to do it. Now you do it. This is your job now. This is your new job. How do you like it?" And that is going about doing good, and that's what you guys all do. And I'm so pleased to be in this church of people that are so loving and do that.
That's true. And our last verse is John 16:33.
"These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Isn't it amazing that
isn't
he
that
can be
good
of good
verse?
Cheer through all of this turmoil and stuff? Be of good cheer. I'm in you, and I'm taking care of it. I can take it. I overcame it, and I overcame it for you. And so
we can
exciting.
Walk in that peace that he has for us.
So today there is no hot dish, but there's tacos, I mean.
Yeah, there's tacos. Good thing you clarified that.
And I just think from my heart, I just say that we just really need to get it in us who God says we are. More than anything, that needs to be the repeated message that we hear all the time, whether it has to be heard from our own lips or whatever.
Can we close in prayer?
Sure.
Close in prayer. You too.
I'll let you.
Okay, Father, I just pray that these words would be sealed in us. Father, I pray that you would open up our eyes to any lies of deception that are keeping us from walking into where you are calling us, Father. Father, I pray that hearts would be in moms and dads to teach their children the right things, to teach them the Bible and the Word. And Father, I pray that our hearts would be open to the lost, Father, that we would have a burden on our hearts for the lost, because you put that on our heart, Lord. You want us to share Jesus, so we ask that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There is prayer teams that will be up here if you'd like prayer for anything discussed. Or Dave, we'll have Dave come up.
There you go, Dave.
That was awesome. Thank you so much. You know, they touched on something that is so important. Jesus saying to his disciples, beware of the leaven of Herod. You know, there's two leavens that were talked about, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, which is somebody who stands in a pulpit and commands others to do what he won't do himself. And that's a religious spirit. But there's the political spirit that is so heavy upon, it's in the church, but it's also in our nation. And it's an oppressive spirit. That's the leaven of Herod. And that's really what you're talking about here. Whoever they are that say it's okay, that this is, that we're changing the rules on everything that we've believed, and it's a political spirit. And the only way to fight a political spirit and a religious spirit, number one, in prayer, but number two, is in being who you are, right? In Christ. So it's a good word. Thank you so much. We do have prayer teams up here. If you need prayer for anything, we invite you to come and have tacos over yonder, and let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a new boldness, a new courage, a new solidity, God, a new revelation of who we are in you, who Christ is in us. God, that you have sent the Holy Spirit so that we could have power to be witnesses when he comes upon us. So release that over us as a people, God. Release the conviction. Move it from our heads to our hearts. Bless each one here. Encourage and strengthen in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.